We're looking at Sichot Musar of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. We have 3 years worth of his shmuzim. And in this case, we're looking at a shmuz in the first chelik, which would be what we call Tafshin Lamed Aleph. That's when he actually gave me the Musa shmuz. And it's called Kochal Shel Leitzanut. Now, it's very difficult to translate the word Leitzanut into English, but for our purpose, we're going to call it cynicism. I don't know, have you ever heard of the phrase, again, not in the literal sense, but in the enigmatic sense, bittel? Not only bittel comes, you know, bittel means if you tell me something that you're going to do and that you're, you know, you're proud of your accomplishments, and I wave my hand and I say, it's worth nothing. Yeah. That's called bittel, you know, when I tell you it's null and void, it's not, it doesn't register. So that's late sons, that's, and there are certain people who almost personify late sons. I don't know if you've encountered those people, but they're very difficult because whatever you know, if you want to say something serious, they just make mockery of it. You know, and it's good to be, yeah, we're all in favor of a sense of humor. You know, I always tell my kids when they go out on dates, first thing they should look for is a future spouse with a sense of humor. But someone who consistently, from beginning to end, just makes a joke out of everything. They're the scoffers and the prophets of doom. You know, they tell you when you think you have something, you know, very bombastic, a project that you could accomplish something, and they're very cynical about. Those are the late summit. And somehow they have an uncanny ability to convince others around them. It's almost like a contagious disease. They have a destructive influence on everyone who comes in contact with them. So in this shmooze, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, talks about Korach. And if you take a look at the bottom, the next to last paragraph on page Ayin, he says, Om Chazal want to know how was Korach so successful in engendering almost a movement, a rebellious movement against the authority of Moshe and Aaron. We may understand that Korach himself was burning with envy. You know, he thought that he was next in line, and that he was worthy of being appointed as a man of stature. And Chazal say that kinnah ma'avir nesodim min ha'olam, you know, kinnah is something that so empowers you. That's fine, but keep in mind that Korach not only rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu as an individual, but he gathered together an entire entourage of people. Chazal speak about 250 Nisiei Edom, Anshei Shem. These were men of great stature. They came from Shevet Reuven. How, asks Rav Chaim, did Korach succeed in getting them all together against Moshe Rabbeinu? So he quotes a Medrash, Vayikach Korach, and the parasha right before Korach is the parasha of Tzitzis. So what's the connection between the mitzvah of Tzitzis and the parasha of Korach? Kofatz Korach, remember this? Rashi quotes in the Chumash, V'omer l'Moshe. You know, Korach gets up as a demagogue publicly in front of Moshe, and he confronts him. Talish shekulat chelis, ma'u shetia p'turim min tzitzis. If you can imagine a garment that's made completely of tchelis, and it's a very expensive garment, you know, tchelis is rare. Would it be chayv in tzitzis? Oh, lo, if it's four-quarter garment, I don't care if it's made of tchelis. Says Moshe Rabbeinu chayv in tzitzis. Oh, lo, korah, talas shekula tchelis. Ain't a poter, says atzma. Come on, who are you kidding, Moshe Rabbeinu? This is the left, this is a joke. I laugh at what you say. Because if a talas that has four chutim of tchelis on the four corners passes up a beggar, then how much more so a beggar that's completely tchelis? If all you need is four strings, four fringes, then he goes on, he asks him another question. He's all scoffing him, he's challenging. He says, Bais Farm. You have Sifrei Torah that are collected all together in one house. Wherever you turn, there's another Sifrei Torah. You open a closet and the Sifrei Torah falls on the ground. Ma'o shetei p'turim min ha'mezuzah. Ba'olei chayeres b'mezuzah. Moshe Rabbeinu says you have to put the mezuzah on his bodies.
Wait, I don't understand.
What's in the mezuzah? How many parashas from the entire Sefer Torah? Two parashas. And that's enough for the mitzvah of mezuzah. If you have a bias that's full of Sefer Torah, with all the parashas of the Torah, and not just one Sefer Torah, but many, does it make any sense that it should be potter, it should be chayim in mezuzahs? Venine, in the next paragraph, kol kush yosef shel korach shtus v'heva, says Rav Chaim, if you think about it from a halachic point of view, put on your legal thinking cap, all of Korach's arguments are meaningless. And yet Chazal say that as a result of all these arguments, is tziva v'asu resh nun talisos tcheles, they wove 250 garments, and they gave it out to the Rosh Sanhedrin, and they all rose up against Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Solstice Tehava. Why? Because whatever the garment is made of is irrelevant. The mitzvah is in the tzitzis, it's not in the beggar. The beggar only engenders the chiyuv, it obligates you, it generates the chiyuv. But the chiyuv and the mitzvah is in the tzitzis, the same thing as with the mezuzah. What's in the bias is totally irrelevant to the chiyuv mezuzah. So how did Korach succeed with these two arguments in winning over, like the true demagogue, 250 Nesi'i Eidah, the heads of Shevet Reuven? Says Rav Chaim, think you so. Afal pichein etzliach l'toach al yodam. Well, maybe it's mean l'fatos al yodam. Reishi, you should look it up in this version, because I think this is the more advanced version, if you get a chance. Al yodam reish nun rashi sanhedris achir mordu moshka kofu b'torben shamayi v'atara. And how was he able to be so successful? Mitoch shesheelos halolu reach shalait sanut no deif mehen. This is the power, says Rav Chaim, of litzanut, of the ability of a scoffer who is cynical to completely undermine the authority of the great leader, in this case Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Come on, who are you fooling? You're telling me that I have a bias full of Sfarim and Chayim Mezuzah, a beggar that's made completely of Chayim and Chayim Mezuzah? It doesn't make any sense. So he laughed. Korach laughed at Moshe. Now I want to point out to you, in this Sefer Vikadat, if you take a look at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Garish Letz, throw out Letz, you know, evict him. And he quotes the famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Toldos. Rashi says, why is there a repetition in the pasuk? It says, V'yela Toldos Yitzhak ben Avram, which means that Yitzhak is the son of Avram, and then it says, Avram holiness Yitzhak. So why the repetition? So Rashi says, Hutzrach Lomar, why did the Torah feel compelled to add the Avram holiness Yitzchak l'fishoi leitzanei hadar omrim? Please underline the word leitzanei hadar, the same word leitzanut, on the Avimelech is Avrosom. Who's the father of this child of Yitzchak? It's not Avram, it's Avimelech. Because remember, Avimelech had taken her captive. Shari Kama shot him Shasanma from the longest Abrahamen. So the Litzanim had a proof. Come on, who are you fooling? She was married, Sarah was married to Avram for decades. They didn't have a child. It could only be because of that one night that she was with Avimelech. Meh Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, what did God do? Sar Klaster Punishal Yitzhak Dom Avram. Yitzchak was a spitting image. His countenance was like two drops of water with his father Avram. They either are told, everyone gave up, got up and testified, Avram holded his mitzvah. V'yesh lahavim. He has three questions he wants this. Number one, Avimelech v'chol beso huku. If you remember that when Avimelech takes Sarah into captivity, God miraculously brings about a very painful magefa on the entire house of Avimelech, including Avimelech himself. And it was only when Sarah prayed on their behalf, and Avram prayed on their behalf, that's when this Magefa terminated. Bevadai Hayezedor Mefursom. Everybody knew about this because Avimelech was the main person at that time, and everyone knew about it. So you see that God is miraculously protecting Sarah. Number two, Avimelech himself, after this episode, pacifies Avram, sends him off with great wealth, son, bakar, avad, and shvatos, he gives him 1,000 kesef, in order to publicize, says Rashi, that everyone should know that he had to give back Sarah because of the divine intervention. Al yidei nes. And thirdly, on the day of Mishneh, in other words, when Yitzhak became old enough that he was weaned from his mother's milk, so all the mothers brought their children to Sarah at that party, a nikas kua, and she was able to nurse all of them. Says the Sifsei Kohen, Shebekach nistu tainos hamal izin shemeavimelech mishavros, so shenekosh brofos enes lipsulim. In other words, if this child was born out of wedlock to a non-Jewish father, then the rule is that God doesn't do miracles for the sake of such a child. And therefore, if you take a look on page 310, in Kengi Polet, Ech Yecholim Hayu Leitzanei Ador Lehaliz Al Sora, how could the scoffers of the generation of cynics make fun and say that Sarah was this Avram Me'Avimelech? It was such a serious leitzanis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt compelled to convert Yitzchak's face into that of Avram Avinu. And here's the Yisod Mikan Raya. From here you can prove She'ein ha'letz mitrashem be'hokachot u'rayo. A person who's a letz is not impressed by all the proofs that you give him. You can prove to him beyond the shadow of a doubt, the facts on the ground, scientifically, that he has no claim, that he's saying something that's totally ludicrous. That ain't a mispael. He's not mitpael. He doesn't pay any attention to him. It's yuta tofachat al parav, even from the reality that slams cold water in his face. I believe that this is the same idea that we saw in Reb Chaim in Reb Chaim Shulevitz. So let's just summarize. We spoke about the erosive and destructive power of Leitzanut, that it could undermine the most serious people, and not only that, even though the facts on the ground are absolutely contradictory to everything that the Letz claims, it doesn't matter. Once a person's a Letz, he'll hang on to anything, because that's his attitude in life. And I think in our time, there are those who deny the Holocaust. I mean, there's so much proof of the Holocaust, you don't even have to talk about it. We have videos, and we have tapes, and we have witnesses, and even Nazis who testified. And we have the Nuremberg trials, and we have the numbers, and the records that the Nazis kept. You might probably get very meticulous, you know, as the Germans are, very meticulous records, how many Jews were killed. And people deny it. And you can go on the internet and you'll see site after site of those who deny the Holocaust. Even the United States of America has a whole movement of people, racists, who deny the Holocaust. And the answer is the power of Leitzanut. So when Reb Chaim in this shmooze, he develops this whole idea about the power of Leitzanut. But now I want to study with you a different piece, which is in Tav Shin Lamed Gimel. It's called Ha'or V'Choshech Sheba'on, which means the admixture of light and darkness in the person, meaning in the personality of the individual. You know, we usually think that every person is either good or bad, and we can classify people. But the truth is, Reb Chaim, he says it in many different of his shmuzim, especially in this one, Parashas Vayetze. He claims that man is much more complex than man. Let's see how he develops it. The pasuk says in Rishis Chavtes, maybe somebody could open up to the pasuk. And Yaniv, while Adam is opening up to the pasuk, maybe you could possibly find this Kochasho Itzanut, because I just, in that version, I just want to see if that
if that was a mistake in the print, okay, maybe he corrected it. Is there a way of looking for Parshas Bamidbar, Tovshin Lamed Aleph? I know they have some.
Is it like this index? Is
for No, Parshas Bamidbar. We're mining the medium Parshas Korah. There should be a table here in which they show you where they put everything. He has a different numbering system here.
Ah.
I was curious if I... Oh, here it is. Good, great. Shimon Vov. Shimon Vov. Great. Oh,
there it is.
It's a mistake. Okay, now I feel more comfortable that I can make the official change. Lifatot. Okay, so if you want to make that change, it's four lines down before the end of the page. Ayin. The first word of the line is Mish'ol. Do you see that? So it says it's Liach. It should say Lifatot. Okay, fine. Alright, so now we're looking in Parshas Vayetze, am I correct? Vayishak Yaakov, this is a very tough test, possibly an Aleph. Vayishak Yaakov, L'Rachel Vayisa, is Kolo Vayiv. Okay, so Rashi has something to say here about this crime at the first encounter of Yaakov and Rachel. And I'm reading the Rashi in the original. Rashi says, Vayev. Levi Sheba Biyadayim Rekaniot. Imagine you're coming to meet your Kala and you want to give her a gift. Like in the Yichud room, you know, things like that. And he comes empty handed. Oma, Eliezer Evid of the Aviyaba, Eliezer, who was my grandfather's servant, Hoyim Yodam Nizamim Smeed McDonald's, when he met Rivka. He had plenty of gifts to give her by me, but I, says Yaakov, in the other room, and he was crying. I don't know if you've ever had the experience when you came for Shabbos to someone and you were prepared to give and you couldn't find the gift or you left it home or whatever. It's like you feel upset about it. You wanted to give the gift. And how much more so in the case of a marriage relationship, you encounter to Yaakov and Rachel and you can't find anything to give him because he's absolutely poverty stricken. Or imagine you take a girl out on a date and you want to take her out to eat, but you forgot your wallet. And so what do? You borrow money from the girl? You know, I don't know if you ever had that experience. I had an experience once where I took a girl on a date and I was early, right? Who comes early for a date, right? I was early for the date because I'm a Yankee, you know. And I got, so I was sitting in the car waiting until the time would come that I could knock on her door. And when I got out of the car, I immediately shut the door locked with my keys inside. You know, so it was very embarrassing. So I immediately called up my brother-in-law, who came from the other side of New York, to go to bring me another set of keys. These kinds of experiences have to hit Yaakov empty-handed. You can't even buy a cup of coffee, right? With the Sherodaf Elifaz ben Esav, the mitzvahs of you. So here's the story. You remember this? Eliphaz is the son of Esav, right? He's also the grandson of Avraham, and he's the, I shouldn't say Avraham, he's the grandson of Yitzhak. Did I get that right? Yeah, he's the grandson of Yitzhak. Right, because Esav is the son of Yitzhak, right? So Eliphaz is the grandson of Yitzhak, right? So his father sends him on a shlichut. Lahargo, he's the henchman. He's the what do they call it in the mafia? The hitman, right? So he's meant to take Yaakov down, and his father commands him. So he's killing his own uncle, right? The sego, and Eliphaz catches up to Yaakov. But Lefisha Gidel Eliphaz Bechetel Shal Yitzchak. Eliphaz had a grandfather, right, on his mother's side. And who was his grandfather? I'm sorry, on his father's side. It was Yitzchak. So he had the influence of the Zeder. So imagine he's in such a bind. His father sends him to kill Yaakov, but he has the vision of his grandfather Yitzchak in his mind. So what does he do? Moshach Yada. He's about to kill Yaakov, and he takes a second, you know, what's it called? He takes a pause. Oh, my ma'aseh l'tziv shalav. He says to Yaakov, look, I don't know what to do. I can't kill you, but on the other hand, what am I going to do with the command of my father? I got to do what my father said. Oh, well, Yaakov came over the floor. Tol mashiv yodhi. Take everything that I have. Ve'ha'ani chashuv kimes. And this is a chazal that there are four people, four categories of individuals are considered like a dead person. And one of them is an ani. So this is the whole episode that Rashi quotes the name of the Medrash, how Yaakov came to Rav when he was absolutely empty. Because after all, he had worked so long in Beis Lava. The whole story with the Akudim, the Kudim, the Prudim, you know, he had a tremendous amount of wealth. Where did he lose it all? And the answer is, it was taken, or given, if you will, to Eliphaz. So Chaim Levitz here in the Shmu says the following. Mitbamei na. Let's analyze the personality of Eliphaz and his inner struggle, his inner conflict. B'mavakei nafsho shel Eliphaz. What does the word mavak mean? A battle, right? An inner battle. It's like pulled in two directions. That's called a mavak. Like in boxing, you know, two boxers. Mitavkim. Holy chubish likut aviv la'arogit Yaakov dodo. He's coming as sent as a message by his father to kill his uncle. Avol nimla, he prevents himself, he pulls back, he hesitates to do a hard book, even should tell me, oh, shall Yitzhak of me? He's got to say the Yitzhak. Imagine you have a father, Esau, who's a murderer and wants to murder Yaakov in this case, and you have a grandfather, Yitzhak. Imagine the inner pull. And this is what we talk about mixed marriages, like for example, the parasha of the Ben Ish Mitzri. Remember the Makalah, because his father was a Mitzri, his mother was Jewish, and he was pulled in different directions. Me'idah mitzvahs aviv chazaka olav. He can't just be flippant about the command of his father. Mitlat beitu. Oh, I recall the name of the game is Hitlat tu. Right? He's completely confused, pulled in different directions. And then Esav, and then Yaakov gives the answer. Tol mashiv yodhi v'ani chashuv kimes. He says here we have an extra example. Dugman osefet leha'or v'achoshev. There's a whole irbuvia, a whole bilbo within the human being of Arba Choshev, pulling him in two different directions. On the one hand, he's the son of Esau, at the same time, he is a student of his grandfather Yitzchak. The Eino Yochol, he can't get himself, which spoke down, to kill someone. Akam Zeino Bishlehut. Even though he's a grandson of Yitzchak and he's influenced by Yitzchak, that's not where he's at. You know, it's not really a Talmud, a full-fledged Talmud of Yitzchak. If he was a real Talmud of Yitzchak, he wouldn't even raise the question, what am I going to do with my father's command? Hare yusi she'im ha'or ha'gadol shebo. She'gadol b'cheikol shel Yitzchak. Even though there's a great light of wisdom, of morality, that's engendered by the fact that he was raised and educated by Yitzchak, his grandfather. He says, God al b'cheikol shel Yitzchak was raised in the bosom of his grandfather. Nevertheless, choshech nora shora etzlo. He's still in the darkness. He's still living under the influences of immorality. Actually, we shouldn't quote Ovid. He's claiming that because of quote Ovid, this is what he believes, Baal Shach Dam. That's a person who's ignorant, who's living in darkness. So on the one hand, he has the light of Yitzchak that prevents him from killing Yaakov. On the other hand, he's asking himself, wait a minute, I gotta kill Yaakov because, quote on it, Harisha ain't sort of all Kavnitzadad din. When you think about it, he, meaning Esau, is not morally committed in any sense to his father's command. We know this is Gemara Kiddushin, that if your father tells you to be immoral, to violate the Torah law, lo yishma lo, there's no keeping out of aim in such a case. And even if I drop the Gemara Kiddushin for a minute, let's just talk about intuitive morality. What are the laws of rational morality that are universal to all of man? Anyone with a head understands she'ein la'aro ga'odom. You don't kill a person because of quota of it. You know, it's great to respect and give dignity to your father. You don't kill because that doesn't justify murder. The afal pichin hiskim al difas l'shulchuto. When his father said to him, when Esav sent him on mishlichut, Eliphaz accepted that job. I didn't reject it. Imagine somebody says you can kill an innocent person. What are you going to say? Oh, I'll accept the job. The brother Fakhar Yaakov, he's trying to kill Yaakov. He put in a tremendous energy until he caught up with Yaakov. The Ashen Moshak Yodav, even though at the end of the day, he stopped himself, but at Dayan Bukshalom, he's still out of cash, but my excellency Yaakov. Because he is so impacted by this immoral shlichut, which he claims, well, my father sent me, that he's ready to murder someone. The Hu Asher Omer HaNovi, and this is what Moshe HaNovi really captures the flavor of this in a sentence. Mi Chacham V'Yavin Et Eile, Navon V'Yodeim, Ki Yisharim Darki Hashem Tzadik V'Yelchu Bo, Hu Poshini Kashul Bo. Who is the wise man who understands? He has wisdom and he knows that the ways of God are the righteous ways, and the righteous people go on those roads, on those ways. And a potion, the evil doozy Kashtubam, they're tripped up by them. Pirush Rashi, explains what the apostle is trying to convey. Sha'osan darki Hashem Hashem Hem Yishom Tzadik Yelpa, those very same roads and pathways that God sends you on, that are righteous, and the righteous will go on. Hare potion Yishalimbam, those who come with the attitude of doing evil, they will be tripped up on those very roads that the tzaddikim, usually think two roads diverge in the yellow wood. Right? So the tzaddikim go on the right path and the mishon go on the evil path. No! The pasuk, the Navi, is teaching me that the poshim travel the same identical pathway as the tzaddikim. But whereas the tzaddikim succeed in reaching the goal, the poshim nikshalim bo. In other words, like here in the case of Eliphaz, he's going on the derech kibbutz, which is a very severe and heavyweight mitzvah. It's compared to the mitzvah of Kavod HaMakom, giving respect to Almighty God. And nevertheless, because the choshech, the darkness that reigns within the heart of Eliphaz, in the rottenness in his very moral character, he'll take kibbutz av and he will abuse it and distort it in such a way that he can actually contemplate fulfilling the shlichut of Esav and murdering somebody. Isn't that unbelievable? Some people will take a mitzvah, turn to an avera, and they'll claim, "When I'm doing a mitzvah." They will kill someone. Rabbi Shaul Salat, the father of the Muslim, said that you can kill someone with the Sefer Torah. Because you have a heavy Sefer Torah, and you bang it over someone's head, you can kill someone. What was Rabbi Shaul trying to convey to Rabbi Salat Marshall? That sometimes, in the name of religion, you can kill someone. You know how many people say, I'm going to tell it like it is. You've heard that phrase, right? I'm committed to MS, and therefore I'm going to destroy a person by telling you the truth about it. All for the sake of truth. The Gemara Ksuvos asks, Kates at the Rakim say a Kala. So the Kala Nebuch is, she has some challenges. She's a little bit lame, she moves one leg, or she... she's blind in one eye or something. So people say, oh, at her very wedding, we're going to sing her song of praise, and we're going to be honest about it. I'm sorry, we're in the middle of the wedding.
I'm really sorry. I mentioned yesterday, the guys wanted to join for a shiur.
a shir shir. They can join us for Musar if they want, but otherwise I'm giving a shir 12 noon, and they can, and everybody's in, that's why I invited everyone to the shir 12 noon. That's, no, that's not about parsha. That's about the principle of an eid echad neved b'yisurin, that you can trust the witness, the testimony of one witness. But on the other hand, ein dover shebe'er v'pops mishnayim, and when it comes to dover shebe'er, you need two witnesses. So we can try to reconcile those two principles. He says, "V'ha'inu nami divrei Rava." Rava says, again, there's a mistake here in the print. This is the second time I'm finding a mistake. I think it's at the very beginning.
If I saw it, maybe in passing.
This is Aleph. Oh, Beis, look at that. Hashem is with us. This has got to be a mistake. Shabbos.
Oh, gosh.
Shabbos. So there's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, and I got to tell that Rava is quoted in that Gemara. And the Gemara says the following. Like my minim are those who go towards the right, but in the Torah, Sama de Chaya becomes a drug that gives life, a life-giving drug. Lamas Me'ilim Ba, but those who take the Torah and they go towards the left, Sama de Mosa, it becomes a toxic drug that will endanger your life. It'll literally kill you. So it's unbelievable. He's talking about the Torah, and he's saying it depends how you go with the Torah. If you go to the right, the right way. He had Torah Atzma, says Rav Chaim. She Torah Chaim, the Sam Chaim Lod Mare, he Atzma, Nase Sam Hamavas, Rachbol Litzlan, Masne Yilin Bob. Those who distort the Torah can convert the Torah itself into a Sam Hamavas. They can kill someone for the sake of a mitzvah in the Torah. That's what they claim. It's a distortion of the Torah. And Rashi explains there in the Masechta Shabbos, Miyaminim Ba, those who go to the right, Sha'oskim Ba, we call Kocham, they dedicate all their energies to the Torah. Ka'adam Ha'osev Miyamin Shehi Ha'ikar. So the right hand always represents the main force of a person. And therefore they use all their energies to understand the Torah on the deepest level. Says Rav Chaim Michlal Zev, what have I learned from this Rashi? By implication, Shamas Ve'ilin Ba, who are those who go towards the left? Rashi would describe them apparently as those who aren't dedicated with all their energies to study the Torah. Elikah Adam also the small, right? A writing uses his left hand. Any of you fellows lefties? No? Okay. Al Elu Nemar Shehi Sama Demosa. On those who don't dedicate themselves to Torah study, they just learn Torah superficially, what they do is, they convert the Torah into a toxic drug which leads to death. HaTorah Atzma Mevi'asa L'Amus Rachmona L'Tzlan. And here's where he sends you to his piece on Atzlus. He has a piece about those who are lazy, you know, they take a flippant and laid back attitude towards the study of Torah. And all they do is, you know, they cut out the top level, the surface level layer, the layer on top of Torah. And they come to the most ridiculous conclusions. It's called someone who studies halacha shelo kehilchos. He abuses the Torah. Did you ever hear the phrase megala panim by Torah shelo kehilchos? Now, unfortunately, we have deviationist groups in Jewish life, in Jewish culture, people who distort the Torah. They don't know beans about studying Torah, they have no Masorah, they were never in the Beis Medrash. They have no Shibush Talmidei Chachamim, and they claim they understand the Torah, so they take things totally out of context. And they misunderstand the Torah. They misinterpret the Torah. It's interesting, the Rambam
in his igros, in his letters, he takes a very strong stance against the study of the Torah by the, you know, under a Muslim interpretation. He says that even though Christianity is much closer to idol worship, to idolatry, than Islam is, but at least one thing he grants the Christians in their interpretation of the written Torah, they're a little bit closer to the truth. Whereas the Muslims will distort the Torah in any way. So when it comes to the study of Torah in translation and so forth and so on, he's much more opposed to an Islamic translation than he is to a Christian translation. And that's paradoxical, because the Ram actually is much more opposed to Christianity than he is to Islam. But there are those people who distort the Torah. And we believe, and that's the belief of the Prussian from generations by God, that without the Torah Shabbat Peh, there are two Torahs, the Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh. It's the Torah Shabbat Peh that gives the ability to understand the Torah Shabbat. But there are those, like the Tztukin, who accepted the Torah Shabbat and rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh. So they'll give you every single explanation for the Torah. And the Torah says that the Shabbos prohibits you from lighting a fire, then it means you can't have a fire going even if you win an Erev Shabbos. Like, that's just one example of how they distort the Torah. And there are many, many examples. Sfarta Lachem, in terms of the Sphira, in terms of the Avot Zkoyim Gadol, the way they interpret the Torah Shem Asam. Ayin Tachazayim, they're going to take literally. All these are distortions of the Torah. And they come from this attitude of the Choshech Sheyesh Ba'adam. They go to the Torah, which is light, which gives chayim, and they distort it and they convert it into a sam hamavos. And sometimes I worry about people who take such an extreme view that they do things to simply convert the Torah into a sam hamavos. And I'm referring specifically to this Neturi Karta family. Some of the Chil Hashem that they do on the internet and publicly, and of course the press all over Europe, especially in the world in general, loves to get a hold of these guys with the big, you know, long beards, and they're supporting the Palestinians to destroy the Jewish state. And this is the distortion of Torah. To use the Torah, that's what they, you know, to destroy the Jewish people. Could you imagine such a... How did we produce such an element? Yeah, thank God it's only a fringe element in the Jewish community. And I would say that they're completely cut off from the Jewish community. But how do we get such a, you know, it's madim, it makes your hair stand on end. But this is the Choshech Sheyesh Ba'adam. You have people who will claim Tsar Bali Chaim. And for the sake of Tsar Bali Chaim, they'll dedicate themselves to protect the animals. And when it comes to human beings, they couldn't care less. No, they're sensitive towards an animal, but not towards a human being. It's like distortion. And they'll claim the Torah is in favor, you know, that these are the movements that, you know, they, when they need the Torah, they know how to quote it. Or misquote it, you know. You know, they say that Zimri, remember that Zimri was the one who had relations with Cosby Bas Tzur. At the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, Pinchas takes the Roman and he kills him. So they say about Zimri that he actually had a Torah justification for having sexual relations with Cosby Bas Tzur. He came up with a whole thesis based on it's a sugya in Nazir called Aver L'Shma. You know, sometimes you can do an Aver L'Shem Shemayim and becomes a mitzvah. But again, he had no mesoros of how to interpret the Torah. It's again by the late sons that we saw of Korah that he can distort the Torah. The Hine Amalek on the bottom of page Chafal, Shoresh or Rav Olam. The source of all evil in this world is Amalek. Nolad ben Eliphaz ben Esav. He's a grandson of Esav, the son of Eliphaz. The Yeshlitz Bonin al Shurman, Nolad ben Eliphaz. Why did divine providence see to it that Amalek would be born to Eliphaz? Eliphaz is the person about whom we say that he was raised in the bosom of Yitzchak. The Lomi Shar Bon of Shalisa, they said that many other children who came from a variety of wives and so forth and so on. But no, Esav had to, Amalek had to come from Eliphaz. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin will give us a clue as to the deeper meaning in the relationship between Eliphaz and Amalek. That connection. V'timna ho'isav pilegesh le'Eliphaz. Who is the mother of Amalek? So again, I don't have the Gemara here in Sanhedrin to check this out. The Gemara seems to say that the name of Amalek's mother was Timna. Did you ever hear that name? I hope you didn't, because I'm not sure it's such a great name. No, she herself actually was a pretty good woman. But she went down, down, down. What's the story of Timna? She wasn't originally the Pilegesh of Eliphaz, but rather Shabbat El Ha'avos. She was a non-Jewish woman who came to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and she said, please accept me. V'lo kibbu. And they rejected her. But she had a tremendous desire, for one reason or another, to be connected, to be part of the Jewish people. Amar Shal, she declared, Mutav tehi shivcha li'uma zu. I don't even mind if I find someone in this lineage, in this nation, and I'll become a shivcha, a maidservant to that person. V'lo tehi gvira l'uma cheris. Even if in other nations she came from some very significant yichuds amongst the non-Jews, and she could have been a mistress there. Nevertheless, she wanted to connect herself and mix with the Jewish nation. So what did she do? She became a Pilegesh, a Shivcha of Eliphaz. Nafek Binei Amalek. And who came out of that relationship between Timna and Eliphaz? Amalek did Tzarinu Yisrael, who will bring terrible anguish and suffering to the Jewish people. My time up. Why do we, the Jewish people, deserve such an adversary, such an enemy, like bloodthirsty enemy like Amalek? Delo yibaylu l'rach. They shouldn't have been merachim. They shouldn't have pushed her away. This story reminds us of what? Do you have any, by sheer association, can you think of any other episode in Jewish history?
Something ringing a bell, I think.
Yeshu. Jesus was pushed aside by the Jews. So some say that had we tried to be more makariv with him, right? He came to the Kabbalah Hadar. I don't remember who it was. Oh, my brain is slipping here. I don't remember if it was whoever it was, and he tried to pull all sorts of curses, shishtik, and they threw him out. And then because he was rejected. Very often our enemies were people who were rejected by the Jews themselves. He says, So the roots of Amalek are in Eliphaz. And here we're turning to page Kof Bet. You can see it now. Or else I'll just read it to you. We're going to finish up soon anyway. He says, V'nir she'adrab, v'shub she'gadel v'cheiko shel Yitzchak, v'zocho li'oro v'yitzchak, v'im zot mishar ben Esav, shari holach l'rtzoach es Yaakov v'inu, v'chein es ava v'imenu amolik, shari omru she'naseis Torah salamos, v'ayin shu garua yosem me'ilu shelo lomdu Torah, sh'irbu shel or v'chol shel to'odu hu ha'garua v'yosem. He says, what produces the worst enemy of the Jewish people is that admixture, that combination of Or V'Choshen. It's a fascinating idea. If you have Choshek and you identify your enemy, so it's a difficult challenge, but you can identify him. But someone who can enter into Torah itself and take the Torah and misuse it, corrupt it, and by distorting the Torah, convert the Torah to Sam HaMavis, that person is not just a wicked person, that person has the power of the Torah itself. When the Torah gets converted into a Sam HaMavis, it becomes the worst enemy that we could possibly have, worse than any other enemy. So because Eliphaz had this admixture, on the one hand, he was willing to go in the Shlichus of Esav to kill Yaakov, but on the other hand, he had the R of Torah that he was taught, because he was raised at the and you know, in close proximity of Yitzchak, Yitzchak took him in as a son. From such a person, Eliphaz, that personality could produce an Esau, the worst enemy of the Jewish people. So here's where we'll stop. We'll say again, we didn't finish the entire shmooze, it goes on and on. But I think we got at least, you know, a basis for what's going on here. The personality of someone who is a mixture of Arba Choshech. What's typical here, because I know Abby's trying to check out whether Sichot Musar is a good sefer for you. What's typical that the one that we did here for Parashat Vayetzeh is Reb Chaim's style, in which he starts with the pasuk in the parasha, and then he goes to Rashi, and then he goes back to the Midrash, and then he broadens himself to all of Shas, and the way he analyzes Agadot in such a unique way, as if it was a halachic gemara, and we have to derive conclusions from it, ask kashas and come up with answers. He's a lamed in Agadot. He was also a lamed in Allah. He was the great Rosh Hashanah Rebbe. He studied in Shanghai, you know, in China. Not during the war. And he was a tremendous god, but he's captured the hearts of so many with this sefer called Sichot Musar, because it's such a fantastic analysis of the agadic part of the Torah, which has been almost left virgin territory untouched. You know, he goes into the agadic Torah and he plows it and he threshes, you know, and he works over it over and over until he understands what we should conclude from an agadic Torah. That's the unique greatness of Reb Chaim Shalom.
Okay. Should we go?
Yeah.